Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Speaking to us, have you been helping us? We ask that grace will be revealed again to each and every one of us in the name of Jesus. The grace that bringeth salvation appear to all of us on our individual levels in the name of Jesus. Speak to our hearts. The way we need healing, heal in the name of Jesus. I also pray, Father, that even as this world will come, those who have need of physical touch, Lord of heaven, touch them. Let there be physical healing as well as ritual in the name of Jesus. Provide food for us this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verses 4 to 6. Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verses 4 to 6 is an incident that happened that I want to draw our attention to. It has to do with our future. How do we handle our future? And being assembled together with them, that's Jesus, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Will you at this time again restore the kingdom to Israel? This morning, I will be considering the principle that led to this kind of questions that people vocalize. And some don't even vocalize it in the presence of God without their realizing it. In the Word of God, all through the Gospels, we always find Jesus speaking a lot about the kingdom of God. He said so much of it that as far as the apostles were concerned, it was as if that kingdom has started already. Praise the Lord. You will wonder why many of them will have left their businesses, as it were, to follow Jesus. You may say it was the anointing that more or less paralyzed them. You will think it was an emotional appeal that drew them to Jesus. I don't think that was the case. Now, let's look at the story in Luke chapter 20. Mark 11. Let's look at Mark 11, verses 14. Let's pick the story from there. There's a story there. And Jesus answered and said unto it. Is it Mark 11? Let me put my glasses on. Mark 1, I beg your pardon. I was wondering, my eyes was not seeing properly. It's Mark 1. Mark 1, verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the kingdom, the gospel of what? The kingdom of God. Next verse. And saying, the time is fulfilled. Hallelujah. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Next verse. Now as he walked by the sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. 17. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. 18. And straightway they forsook. Everybody say forsook. What did they do? They forsook. They forsook their nets. In other words, they forsook their business. At that point, immediately they forsook their nets and followed him. And every other person you meet in the Gospels that followed Jesus, it was not something they had time to really think about, as it were. It was like there was a spontaneous response from the people that were called at that material point in time. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you that the people that followed Jesus were not idiots. Did you hear what I said? They were not what? They were not idiots. They were not fools. In other words, everyone that followed Jesus had an expectation in following Jesus. There was something in them that resonated with the summons that Jesus gave to them. And immediately they had the summons, that thing kicked into motion and made them respond to that call. Hallelujah. They were people that were ambitious. Can I put it like that? They were what? They were ambitious men. They followed Jesus not because of bread. They followed Jesus because of kingdom. Am I making sense to you? Because they had been hearing about this thing called kingdom, and they had loved to be a part of that kingdom. Hallelujah. How many of you would like to be a part of New Nigeria? Can you define what New Nigeria is about? You don't know. But just know New Nigeria, I want to be part. Praise God. Now, a man now comes and tells you, I'm going to bust New Nigeria. Hallelujah. I'm very sure 2019 you will vote for him. Or her. Or Amaphrodite. Anyone. Praise God. Because if I voted for Buhari because I felt that by now certain people should be in jail. That's why I voted for Buhari. But now nobody's in jail. I'm not sure 2019 is going to have a vote for me. Praise the Lord. I'm only giving you up information, that kind of advanced information. Praise God. And I'm sure that everybody in my house will not go out that day. Hallelujah. Because I will lock the gate. Because if Buhari, for as far as I cannot solve the issue of corruption, then there is no hope among the present set of thieves. Do you follow me? You don't follow me. Don't worry. Just listen. Hallelujah. So they heard a man say, the kingdom must come. Or the kingdom has come. And he was going to bath the kingdom. Those men were lovers of the kingdom. And so something in them resonated and they responded to the call of Jesus. And so they followed him everywhere. Everywhere he went, they were just waiting for him to announce, this time has come. I want to form my government. And you will understand why the mother of those two young men came to Jesus. To say, I need someone to sit on your right. Seeing that Jesus did not marry. Praise the Lord. Because in the real sense, in terms of monarchy, you have the wife and you have the firstborn son sit with the king. Hallelujah. You know, that's the heir apparent. Since the man didn't have a wife, he can't have a son. Hallelujah. So, I have two sons, praise God. And they were leveraging on the relationship between Jesus and their mother. So they told their mother, go and talk to Jesus. That position, if we can occupy it. It's all about kingdom, hallelujah. And the rest got angry that they had used the advantage they had, hallelujah. Use what you have, not your body. Use your God connection. Amen. Somebody said you can use anything to preach the gospel. So some girls were fornicating with men and were preaching gospel. So we are using our body to preach the gospel. You will just go to hell like that way. It's a very fast way to enter hell. Am I making sense to you? No, they were trying to leverage on what they had. Unfortunately, the Bible says they were all angry with the disciples because that position, everybody was eyeing it. Who was going to be on the right hand of Jesus? Who was going to be there on the left hand of Jesus? Unfortunately, Jesus died. Your hope will not die in Jesus' name. Their hope died. And they said, I go back to fishing. Remember the Bible told us in Mark 1 that they forsook. You know what it is to forsake? Have you ever forsook? Is that incorrect English? Have you ever forsaken anything? Really, man. Some of you have never forsaken anything. You only put it in the cooler. Hallelujah. Some of you have boyfriends. You only put the boy in the cooler. When the condition is ripe, you go and bring him out of the cooler. Hallelujah. And I think they did the same. Bible says they actually forsook their nets. But when their hope died, they remember where they kept their nets. May you not remember where you kept your nets. They remember where they kept their nets. And went back to their nets. And Jesus... And may Jesus in your life resurrect again. Amen. Jesus resurrected to come back to meet them. And said, children, have you have been laboring since all night. What have you caught? Okay, cast your net on the other side. May you hear new instructions. Now, that's not my area of emphasis this morning. The emphasis this morning is that after all that, after Jesus rose up again, their hope revived. That desire for the kingdom revived within them. They wanted to be a part. Not only did they, because Jesus had told them that, look, listen to me, because they asked him a question when that rich man came to Jesus and said, what must I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus gave him instructions, and then the man, you know, said, no, I've done all that. Just now said, if you want to be perfect, go sell everything, give to you people, then come and follow me. And the Bible says, the young man went away sorrowful. Jesus Christ said, it is going to be nearly impossible, even impossible for a rich man to enter heaven. Then they looked at themselves. Robert, bless you, how much do you have in your account? You are not rich. How much do you have in your account, Pastor? You are not rich. Then if that rich man can't enter heaven, then there's no hope for all of us together. Because they might have had a message that said that riches is a proof that God has favored you. Have you heard of that gospel recently? Pastor Bello should know about that gospel. If you are not financially buoyant, that means God has not blessed you. You are not blessed. You are under judgment of God. We've had that gospel preached to us. So they felt, look, we've left all. We've forsaken all to follow you. What is our profit? I sometimes wonder when people tell me that I'm just following God. I just follow God. Don't be an idiot. Nobody follows God without a reason. There must be a reason. But let your reason be genuine. Are you with me? Some people chase Jesus because of bread. Say, you are not following me because you loved what I was preaching. You were following me because you wanted to eat bread. Is that not true? Some people come to God because they want miracle. Let them come. Praise God. Don't stop them from coming. If it is husband they want, let them come. If it is wife they want, let them come. Hallelujah. If it is car you want, come. After you have come, don't stay there. Migrate from that position to the next position. They were seeking something more grandiose than all the things that men look for. They wanted the kingdom. Hallelujah. And the Bible told us that they asked Jesus again, what about the promise of this kingdom? You said, we will sit on your right hand and your left in the kingdom. In this kingdom, you will give us thrones, and all of us 12 will be judging the whole of Israel. Remember, they came from the background of being fishermen. They were poor people. They were not educated people. They had no hope of ever becoming anything in Israel for the rest of their lives, even if they had the opportunity of living their lives 10 times over. Do you follow me? And here, somebody had promised that they would be judging Israel. Praise God. I mean, if anybody comes to me and says, Pastor, support me in the 2019 election, and I promise to send a president, you think I will not join? I will join. Hallelujah. 500 million naira impressed, unaccounted for. I can spend it the way I like. You say, I will not join? I join, no. Praise God. Magda Pastor, praise God. Do you understand me? No, I won't do that. I'm only letting you know. So people will give up certain things for that kind of opportunity. So they were willing to give up so many things for the sake of the promise that Jesus made to them. And here they came to. Jesus was about to go again. And they had to ask him, what about the kingdom you promised to Israel? It was actually Israel, it was actually to them. What about the kingdom? And Jesus needed to tell them and said, no. This thing I promised you is not a now thing. Listen to me. The same happens to us every day. When you expect certain things from God, when you pray to God, and you want God to do certain things for you. God is not unmindful of your need. But Paul, the apostle said so. He said, before you pray, God knows. Jesus Christ said, God knows what you have need of before you even ask him. Hallelujah. He knows what you need. He knows what your needs are. But he said, ask. But can you trust God that even when you ask, you leave it to him to make his mind up to give you or not to give you? Can you move on with him even though he does not give you? Do you follow what I'm saying this morning? For them, the kingdom was not given to them after Jesus' ascension. In quote. They did not sit on 12 thrones to judge Israel. In quote. They did not have political power as they desire to have. In quote. Do you follow me? But God gave them something that was more powerful than political power. Remember the Bible said that when Paul and his friends entered the particular city, the Bible said the city was moved. You know the comments they made? They said the mess that turned the world upside down have come here. Those were men that knew how to approach governments without being violent, without creating an Al-Qaeda organization. By mere preaching the gospel, they were upturning governmental powers. Praise the Lord. And in a way, they were sitting on thrones. Praise God. Do you follow me? But the way they expected God to answer that prayer was not the way God answered it. So what am I trying to say this morning? Psalm 37, verse 2. Psalm 37, verse 2. 37. For they shall... Now, take it from verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be ye thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as a green herb. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. When Jesus was about to leave, he told them he was going to die, he was going to go away. And the Bible said the disciples were sorrowful. You know why they were sorrowful? Because their tomorrow was not sure. I say God will ensure that your tomorrow is sure in Jesus' name. You need to come to the place of trusting God. They needed to trust Jesus with their tomorrow. They had anticipated that by becoming senior officials in the coming kingdom, their tomorrows will be secured. Their tomorrows will have a meaning. All that they have lost, all that they have sacrificed for the sake of following Jesus would have been compensated for. Praise God. But that was not the way God responded to them. They needed to trust God. After that episode, after Jesus left them, the second time, they had to trust God. And God honored their trust. Now, when the Bible says do good is not smiling to everybody in town. No. Do good means you follow the will of God. Am I communicating to you? The revealed will of God. You do what? You do the will of God. Trust God and do the will of God. For the apostles, it was not about political power. For the apostles, it was about preaching the gospel. Do you follow me? And it was within the context of preaching the gospel that their tomorrows were secured. Some people are trying to secure their tomorrow by themselves. They are planning their tomorrow. They are telling me, this is where I'm going to serve. Pastor, I'm going to serve in Abuja. I'm not only serving Abuja, I'm serving in the office of the accountant. The accountant. GMD Finance. NMPC. Praise the Lord. In fact, I'm going to be in charge of oil bunkering. You are planning your future. I'm not saying don't plan your future. But I'm saying that can you trust God for your future? If your plans don't end, suppose you end up becoming the accountant of palm oil. Is that not oil? It's oil. Praise God. You will do well selling oil and keeping the accounts of the oil company. It's an oil company. Oil company is oil company. Hallelujah. Whether it's palm oil or petrol station or NMPC, it is oil. Amen. Are you with me? Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. When it appeared as if their political ambition was not going to be fulfilled, you would have expected them to carry guns to go and implement it on their own. But they did not do that. They trusted the Lord. And they left that place doing the will of God. And God brought that to fulfillment. The Bible says they were surely fed in that land. We never read a story that the apostles were hungry at any time, except for Paul, who said that sometimes he was always hungry. He put himself in that position. Praise the Lord. You understand? It was Paul that organized his own hunger. Amen. Every time Paul went to the Jews, he's always ending up in trouble. Read his calling. God said they will send him to kings and to Gentiles. He went to the Jews. Every time he went to the Jews, he was always in trouble. But every time he went to the Gentiles, they took care of him. Didn't I read what he read about the Philippian church? He said, you are the one who communicated with me the first time I came out to Asia. You took care of my need. God always made sure that Paul never had problems with food. But when my brother left the major calling, he had problems with food. That's my own call, that's my own theory. I may be wrong. Hallelujah. But the Bible says, trust the Lord and do good, and you dwell in the land, and you will be surely fed. Hallelujah. Now, let us look at Isaiah 50:10. I want to close. So, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness? Praise God. Is it possible to be obeying God and you'll be walking in darkness? That walketh in darkness and hath no light. In other words, you don't know how tomorrow we go. There is always this thing amongst men. They want to know how tomorrow we go. They want to know what will happen tomorrow. I might even like to know what will happen tomorrow Monday. I might even like to know. Praise God. Everybody wants to know. That's why we have weather forecasts. We want to know if rain will fall tomorrow or not. Hallelujah. We have stock brokers that tell us, put your money here, don't put your money there. But then we have horoscope that wants to tell you it will be, this is how you should behave. Then we have fortune tellers. They will look at you and say, I see some yellow girl. It's coming your way. Be careful. It's like yellow, brown, something. You know, that's what, everybody feels that description, you know. Praise God. Everybody wants to know tomorrow. But listen to me, you don't need to know tomorrow. I don't know who I'm preaching this message to. You want to know tomorrow, but your tomorrow is in the hands of God. Trust him to implement that which is good for you. You must trust him. You must trust him that tomorrow will be good. The present circumstances may not add up. Like Sister Kweju said, the doctors may tell you that something is failing, but your tomorrow is good. Tell your neighbor your tomorrow is good. He says, he that walketh in darkness and hath no light, let him trust in what? In the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Don't see what destroyed Saul was that desire to know how the battle will go. And because nobody was going to tell him, the Bible says he required, if there was any witch left in Israel, he had passed an edict to wipe out all the witches. And he said, there is still one witch that is left, and she's a very, very powerful witch. I said, let me seek her. And he went to the witch of Endor. And the witch asked, what do you want me to do? He said, summon to me the spirit of Samuel the prophet. Now, if the woman knew the real Samuel will come up, she would not have summoned the real Samuel. Because, you see, in that thing, they summon fallen angels. They appear, they take on the form of the person you want to talk to, a dead relative or whatever, and they begin to tell you about tomorrow. That's how it works. And immediately Samuel appeared, the woman screamed, because he recognized that this was not a demon. This was Samuel himself. So you have deceived me. And what did Samuel say? He said, you will fall in battle. You and your sons will die. Is that what he wanted to hear? What he could easily have turned to God and said, God, I don't know how tomorrow we go, but for whatever reason, have mercy on me and preserve me. God would have preserved him. The man would have died gently in his sleep without falling in battle. But because he wanted to know tomorrow, every time you step out of not trusting God, Satan will step in and accommodate you. He will always do that. And once that happens, they will set a trap for you. And I can guarantee you, they will ultimately destroy you. Don't fall into that trap of wanting to know how tomorrow will go. Trust the Lord. The Bible says, he that has no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Don't let pressure push you to know. Parents do it. You want to marry, they will take the name of the person you want to marry. Go and ask some baba, is this the person the woman should marry? It's just crazy. Somebody wanted to marry. They took somebody, the name of the girl, to the baba's. Baba said the girl has a crooked leg. I don't know. The girl I saw was a very pretty girl. Hallelujah. Okay, I said, oh, that. I don't know what is the essay. That is all good. Yeah, and they say, I don't, it was not this essay. There's another. Well, the one I saw is good. Hallelujah. Praise God. In our mind, another one whose essay is good. Now that one now is now a witch. Who is deceiving you? Are you with me, church? In marriage, is a game of. It's not a game. Marriage is faith. It's faith. It's faith. It's faith. You must trust God. The Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken. You can't break a threefold cord. When it is you, your wife, and God, those three of you in that relationship, nothing will break it. Nothing can break it. Pressure will come. Not even Satan can break it. Not even God can break it. What God has put together, the Bible says, let no man, it's an eternal commandment, put it asunder. But if one of them agree with Satan, they will scatter it. Am I making sense to you? Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Amen. Finally, Isaiah 26 verse 3. And I'll close. Isaiah 26 verse 3. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace. God will keep him in perfect peace. So whose mind is now not the person that goes to church? Please, let me tell you. It's not those who go to church that God will keep. Did you hear what I said? What did the Bible say? Whose mind? You know mind. How of you know mind? You know mind. Many of us, like I said, we should do an audit of how we use our mind every day. How many of you remember God? It was okay. Percentage of time you take in remembering God and thinking about God divided by 24 hours. What would be your percentage result? Many of us have failed. I can guarantee many of us have failed. Because many of us, our minds are very... We only remember God when it is time for service. Hallelujah. Said, whose mind is stayed on thee? Because he trusted in thee. There's a scripture in... It says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole earth, looking for the person whose mind is stayed on him, so that he will show himself strong on their behalf. Pressure will come, but can you stay? Can you stay? Let me finish. Ephesians 3. I'm finishing. It will not be finishing until I finish. Praise the Lord. No, this one I'm finishing. Praise the Lord. Your hallelujah is not very convincing. I didn't hear that hallelujah very well. Hallelujah. Verse 14, 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. This is the prayer I want to pray. I want us to pray. That he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. without strength, your mind can't stay on God. Did you hear what I said? Without what? Without strength. Without that internal strength, you can't stay on God. That's why I said this message will not be finished if I don't say this part of it. Because it's easy for me to say, go and trust God. And you step out there, immediately you eat there, the devil waiting for you, come. You went to church today, come. Let me hear. What did they say? He said, no, they didn't say anything. It was the choir, I just enjoyed the hand. Just be sure that you don't hear anything there. The only way your mind can stay on God is for the Holy Ghost to strengthen you in your inner man. That's the only way by which your mind can be stayed. The future is not clear. The future is hazy. I don't know how things will play tomorrow. But one thing is clear. Our future is in His hands. He can handle your future. He can keep you in the midst of those turbulent things. Nigeria has not entered turbulence. But I can imagine how people feared when the world war started. I can imagine how people feared when crisis erupted in their midst. Suppose they now say that Boko Haram has entered Akure and they are targeting churches on Sunday. How many of you will still come to church on Sunday? Do you follow what I'm saying? Will you say that the God in whom I trust will preserve me? Do you follow me? They're not following me again. Okay, let us pray. They are still following me. Hallelujah. You don't want Boko Haram to come. I don't want Boko Haram to come. But suppose they now come. Can you trust God? Can you trust God? Can you trust God? Can you trust God? Without strength, you can't trust God. I want us to bow our heads and pray this morning. We talked about grace in the morning. Grace is also God's enablement. It is God's way of strengthening to do the will of God. Say, trust in the Lord and do good. To do good is to walk in faith. To do good is to hold on God. To do good is to obey God. To do good is to have our minds stayed on Him. Without strength, you can't stay on God. Without strength, you cannot stay focused on God. Without strength, you can't go through the rest of your days and having God, believing God to take care of your tomorrow. That's the prayer I want us to take to this morning. That you will know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge. That God will strengthen you with all might in your inner man. You need to be strengthened with all might. You need to be strengthened with might in your inner man. You need to be strengthened. I need to be strengthened with might. Oh, we need might in our inner man. If we are going to stay focused, if we are going to stay, have our mind stayed on God, we need strength. Men have physical strength. Men develop physical abilities. But this is a spiritual ability you and I must have. We need the power, we need the strength of God to help us. We need His grace that we may stay focused, that we may keep trusting God and not shifting our gaze. When alternatives are presented to us, when men call us to compromise, when men tell us, don't walk by faith, organize your own life yourself, you need strength. The bounds of the grace of God has appeared unto all men, teaching us to say no to all ungodliness. It enables us to say no, emphatically to say no to temptations. It is the grace of God. Lord, let your grace appear to me.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.